welcome to the fourth episode. I think it's the fourth one. The fourth episode of the Matt Cummins Fantasy Baseball Podcast. This is your host, Matt Cummins, obviously. But anyway, in this podcast, I'm going to discuss the shortstop position. I honestly didn't know which position I was going to do until I just said that right now. But yeah, so I guess we're going to talk about shortstops. Before I do that, I wanted to get some housekeeping out of the way. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Cummins. You can also read my work at Baseball Professor, MattCummins.com, as well as Through the Fence Baseball. So let's talk about shortstops. So all the information that I'm talking about can be found in my fantasy guide that came out a few weeks ago. And the fantasy guide has over 440 player profiles and is over 150,000 words. So if you're looking for more in-depth information about what I'm talking about, feel free to go to mattcummins.com/fantasy guides and you'll see my fantasy guide. That's downloadable for free. And as well, you'll find also my updated projections that actually came out on Friday, March 7th, I think it's the 7th, as well as rankings and dollar values as well. So, and again, I highly recommend you go and download the fantasy guide because that will provide you more succinct and more better information than you're getting here. So the first player I wanted to discuss was Everth Cabrera. Okay, so if you look at my rankings at mattcummins.com, you'll notice that he is my second-rated shortstop. And he's currently being drafted as the, let me go to NFBC here. He's being drafted as the 7th shortstop, which means I'm a lot higher than him than the fantasy community. And that also means that I'll probably be owning him in probably all my leagues. Now, what I like about Cabrera is, now, I'm not even going to talk about the suspension, because if you listen to my podcasts before or have read my fantasy guide or any of my writing, you'll know that I really don't care if a player has done performance-enhancing drugs, because I don't think they do anything that actually affects performance at all. The reason why I believe that is because I haven't seen any type of real data to support that notion yet. If there is data, then I'll definitely jump off the bandwagon. Not bandwagon, but jump off the idea that PEDs don't really help performance. But until I do, I don't think it does anything at all to performance at all, whether it's good or bad. But before he had his drug suspension last year, he was in the top three. I think he was number three. The number three shortstop on ESPN's player radar when he got suspended. So what I like about Cabrera is that, first of all, he can steal a lot of bases, and he's probably the safest stolen base threat there is, in my opinion, entering this year. And if you played a full year last year, you would have had 60 to 61 stolen bases. And a full year, to me, is 155 games. Some of the criticisms that people have against Cabrera is either the PED suspension or the lack of, you know, other categories. Now, I believe that's incorrect, because if he did play a full year, he would have ended the year with 80 runs. Now, obviously, that's not ideal, especially from a leadoff hitter and from a player who steals so many bases. But I believe that, you know, a big reason why his run totals were so low was because Chase Headley had a really bad year. And if you believe that Headley bounces back to the player that he was, maybe not to the 2012 version when he had like those 35 home runs, but if he just returns back to the player that he used to be, you have to expect that Cabrera will score maybe 85 to 90 plus runs this year. Another question mark that some fantasy owners have about him is his durability. In 2010, he only played 76 games because of a nagging right hamstring injury, which is okay, you know, which is a legitimate injury. But in 2011, he was only limited to 60 games, and that was due to a separated shoulder. And that, I think he incurred that injury while sliding into second base, which is obviously a fluke injury, which is something that, you know, probably shouldn't repeat itself in the long term. So if you look at the last 4 years, he's only had 1 year that you know has any type of injury concern when it comes to fantasy. You know, in the last 2 years, he's been pretty healthy. He hasn't really missed time due to injury. So I'm not really concerned about the injury history with Cabrera. So now last year, what I liked about Cabrera is he did a lot of things. He did a lot of positive things at the plate. His contact rate increased 7 percentage points. His K rate decreased 9 percentage points, while his walk rate and BABIP were exactly the same, which tells me that he became a better hitter. He became less of he had a more patient approach at the plate and stopped swinging at balls, you know, that he couldn't hit. And he actually took a better idea at the plate. So if you combine the fact that he's making more contact, he's striking out way less, and he's stealing a lot of times when he's on base, this is a clear top two shortstop for me because he'll provide steals. Actually, one thing that's also not being talked about a lot in the fantasy community is that how many stolen bases were down last year compared to the last couple of years. So if you get a player, if you get Cabrera, you know, you'll probably finish in the top three of stolen bases if he plays a full year, which I think he will. And this is a player that I have no hesitation about drafting or going the extra dollar for in drafts. And the last note I wanted to make about Cabrera is how shallow shortstop is this year. When I say shallow, I mean that there's a lot of, first of all, obviously there's a lack of talent, as well as there are a lot of question marks throughout the entire position. So if you look at the top five, you know, Tulowitzki, he always gets hurt every year. Ian Desmond, I know he's been really good the last 2 years, but if you look at my fantasy guide, you'll notice that his performance increase the last 2 years have been kind of fluky in the fact that it's all pretty much been derived from swinging at the first pitch in the count. And last year, his the effectiveness of that strategy decreased as the league caught on to what he was doing. And it's possible that, you know, the performance that he had last year may decrease from the year prior. And you also have Jose Reyes. I mean, how many stolen bases is he going to have this year? You know, will he, you know, steal as many as he did the last previous years? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, it's possible that he actually could steal, you know, only 20 stolen bases. And if he only does that, then he's maybe a borderline top five shortstop and not the top two shortstop that he was or 3 years ago. Hanley Ramirez, you know, I want nothing to do with Hanley Ramirez at all this year, but there's a lot of question marks with him. Can he stay healthy? Was last year just a fluke? Or is the last 2 years of the 250 type of hitter the true talent of Hanley Ramirez? And then you have Starlin Castro. He came off a really bad year as well, you know, and so, you know, you really don't know what you're going to get out of him, too. So there's a lot of question marks in the shortstop position. And even the top guys, there's tons of question marks with them, too. So, but when I look at Everth Cabrera, I don't see as big of red flags with him. I mean, he does have some red flags. But when I see someone who has made a really big change in their approach at the plate, and it's actually actualized into real, you know, positive results, that's a player that I want. I want a player that's coming off of a down year or who is striking out more, making less contact. You know, anyone who knows or anyone who reads what I write knows that, you know, I don't want guys that strike out a lot and I don't want guys who are decreasing their contact rates. And he did the opposite of that. And so even though he may have an injury history, which, you know, obviously one of the years was a bad one when he had a hamstring injury, but in the last 3 years he hasn't had injuries that are that are repeatable. So this is a player that I'll gladly have or gladly take in all my leagues and, you know, take the ride. I wanted to talk about Starlin Castro in a little bit more detail. So this is a player that if I don't get Everth Cabrera, then Starlin Castro is the next player that I'm going to be targeting in all my drafts. And the reason why I want Starlin Castro is simply for the fact that I don't believe he's that bad. that the 2013 season is a indicator or a reflection of his true talent. Because it's easy to forget that he's still only 23 or 24 years old and that he's still fairly young. Because a lot of players that are his age are probably entering their rookie seasons in the major leagues. And he's already played 3 or 4 years. So what happened last year with Starlin Castro was they tried to change his approach at the plate. Anyone who follows baseball, fantasy baseball, should know that Starlin Castro does not get on base a lot, even though he has a pretty high batting average. He never takes any walks, essentially. His OBPs were always, you know, he'd always have a 300 batting average or and have a 320 on base. And last year, the Cubs wanted to change that. They wanted him to try to maintain the batting average and increase the OBP. And obviously, so they made a change in his approach at the plate. And, you know, towards the end of the year, he did not have a really good relationship with then-manager Dale Swaim. And I don't know if you heard that bike or not. But anyway, so he had a poor relationship with Dale Swaim, which caused Dale Swaim to get fired from the coaching position for the Cubs. And by the end of last year, in September, Starlin Castro was quoted saying that, you know, this new approach at the play is not working, and I'm going to revert back to the old approach because whatever it is that he was trying to do was not working. But in general, I just believe that, you know, like I said before, that he has to improve. He's not like he can't. He's been so good prior to 2013 that I have to believe that he should be able to return back to the player that he was. Now I'm expecting him to be a 280 type hitter. So basically, I'm projecting him to be more like along the lines of a 2012 season than the 2011 season. Now the reason why I projected him for only 16 steals, you know, because you know from 2011 and 2012, he was a 20 to 25 steal player. The reason why I only believe that he'll only have 16 stolen bases is because of his low stolen base success rate. For his career, I think it's about 64%, 65%, and that's pretty low. And it's hard for me to believe that you know the Cubs will allow him to. Well, it's possible. What I'm saying is that it's possible that he may not be able to steal as many bases as he once had because his success rate is so low. But this is still a player that I think is still really good. He's still only 24 years old, 23 years old. And, you know, I think he'll definitely positively regress back to the player that he was in 2014. Okay, so the next player I wanted to discuss was... Oh, well... Sorry, there's some breaking news. Apparently, Doug Fister has elbow inflammation. Huh. And he's going to be... he'll be pushed back a few days. Huh. Okay. And there's going to be an MRI coming up for Fister. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Okay, so I guess Doug Fister has elbow problems. Just a random detour here. So I was not high on Fister at all entering spring training. Obviously, you know, changing teams from a, you know, from the Tigers defense, infield defense to the Nationals infield defense is a upgrade, but I don't think it's that big of an upgrade that most people think it is, primarily because Ryan Zimmerman isn't really good defensively anymore. And if you watch him play, that you'll know that he doesn't really know where the ball is going when he throws it a lot of times. Also, Anthony Rendon, you know, he's okay at second base, but I don't think he's that good, you know. And Ian Desmond is more of a offensive first shortstop than a defensive shortstop. And, you know, for some reason, he's being drafted like 30 to 40 picks ahead of players that are better than him. So, for example, in my fantasy guide, I think I talked about Hiroki Kuroda, how Kuroda has outperformed Fister the last 2 years, and Kuroda is still going. Let me pull up his ADP data. He's going literally 30 picks after Doug Fister as of Saturday, March 8th, which makes no sense to me at all. But, yeah, so... Doug Fister will probably fall even further my rankings as more information comes out. I think it'll fall anyway because I just don't like pitchers having injuries before the season starts anyway. But this is something to be aware of as we move forward. So the next player I wanted to talk about was Jonathan VR of the Houston Astros. VR may not be the sexiest prospect that was called up last year. And he may have flew under the radar when he did get called up. But what I like about VR is that if he played a full year, if he played 145 games, he would have ended the year with 45 stolen bases, which would have been, I think, tied for like the top three or four in the majors last year, which is actually really good. And this is a player that you're going to be able to get. Let me check out his ADP. He is going in the 21st round of NFBC drafts. So you can get him towards the end of your drafts for basically nothing. And this is a player that if he does play a full year, which I do think he will happen, is because the Astros don't really have anyone else that they want to play at shortstop. And and if he does well, then this is another trade piece the Astros can trade for either at the end of the year or next year or the following year. Sorry. So VR is a player that obviously has a lot of stolen base potential, but what also is if you read his scouting reports that there's some indications that he could actually be more than just a stolen base guy. He can actually provide maybe 5 to 10 home runs because he doesn't have the pop in the bat to do so. And so if you're talking about a player that can potentially drive 5 to 10 home runs as well as 40 plus bases, this is a player that can be really, really good for you. Now the only problem with VR is the fact that he may be a batting average risk. So this is a player that, let me pull up the stats before. This is a player that, he strikes out quite a bit. He had a 29% strikeout rate, which is insanely high, which means that his .243 batting average could have been a lot less if it wasn't for the .362 BABIP that he had last year. So this is a player that if he does hit .240 and he does steal 40 plus bases and does hit 5 to 10 home runs, this is a player that will provide positive ROI on your draft, whether it's a snake draft or an auction draft. And also, this is a player that's going to be batting leadoff, most likely, at least unless the batting average falls off. He'll likely bat leadoff in a lineup that should be better than it was last year. Because you have to believe that George Springer will come up sometime before June, that Jonathan Singleton will come up probably in July, and there could be other kids that are going to be called up from the minor leagues as well. So this is a player that could sneakily, score 75 plus runs if the team around him ends up being pretty good. So there's lots of upside with VR. And this is a player, if I don't get, if I don't get Castro, and if I don't get Everett Cabrera, VR is a player that I'm going to be trying to get in all my leagues. Because I do believe that if, for some reason, the batting average liability could be very legitimate, but I don't believe that it falls below the .230 range. And I do believe that he does have more power than he has, that the fantasy community believes is there. So again, this is a player that I'm targeting at the end of my drafts if I need a shortstop. I don't know who to talk about now, so because I'm not really high on anyone else, but who I'm not high on is I am not a believer in Asdrubal Cabrera at all. This is a player that who's walking less and who's striking out more than ever. He got a lot of his accounting stats primarily because he was batting in the two or three hole for the first two thirds of the year, and I have to assume that he will be batting in the bottom third of the lineup because he just doesn't. He's not a good hitter anymore. And he's also injury prone. He's always likely due for a DL stint as well. And he's currently going as the 13th rated shortstop in FBC, which I guess is about right because of his upside that he showed in 2011. But this is a player that I don't think is going to come close to 2011. And if you're lucky, he'll be a combination of the 2013 and 2012 season. And there's not a lot of upside there. Another player I wanted to talk about was Alexi Ramirez. Now, obviously, he had a really good year last year with the stolen bases. The reason why he had that good year is because he had a really good year with the batting average, as he had a .284 batting average and a .313 on base, which is really low for someone with a average that high. But anyway, so this is a, you know, Ramirez is more of a .260 type of hitter. And which means if he's a .260 hitter, he's more of a, you know, .300, .290 on base player. Which means that if he doesn't get on base at the same rate as he did in 2013, which I think will happen, if his OBP does drop, you know, 10 to 25 points, then the number of times that he'll be able to steal bases is a lot less. So, you know, thinking that he will have 30 stolen bases again is really, you know, really optimistic, I think. And I think he'll be more in the 15 to 20 range, which is fine, but currently with his current ADP means that he is being drafted as someone that can steal you 25 plus with a pretty good average, which I don't think is going to happen again. So, okay, I think that's it of all the shortstops I wanted to talk about. And again, if you want more information, feel free to check out my fantasy guide at mattcummins.com/fantasyguides. And I will be back in 1 minute. Of the show. This is where I recap everything, I guess, and not talk about baseball anymore. After I'm done recording this, I'm going to be playing some board games with some friends of mine, and I don't know which game we're going to be playing. We never really decide on a game unless it's like a new game that we want to play, but I think we will either play Kalis or Race for the Galaxy, or we may play Stone Age again. I'm not really a fan of Stone Age. I prefer Kalis a lot more than Stone Age. Just for a little brief background of the games is that Kalis and Stone Age are worker placement games, which means is that if you don't play board games, it's essentially where you have workers and you place them on the board to gather resources, and then you take those resources and you turn those into victory points, essentially. And at the end of the game, whoever has the most victory points wins the game. So anyway, I don't know what game we're going to be playing, but we'll be doing that. And yeah, so I'm actually looking forward to that because once the season starts at the end of March, my free time will be a lot less than it is now. So I'm actually taking a, you know, as I mentioned in the last podcast, I'm kind of taking a break right now because I wrote the book, the fantasy guide, so I'm taking it easy. So another piece of news is that I will be writing daily columns at Baseball Professor, daily meaning Monday through Friday, where I recap the day's events and I talk about the things that I watched so that, you know, if you happen to miss some games, then you can just read my column and you'll know exactly what happened in all those games. So yeah, so I'm looking forward to that, and I may also do another daily column on my own blog. I don't know if that's going to work or not, because that will take a lot more time, and so, but we will see about that. But yeah, so again, oh, I almost forgot. Our musical guest again was the Brother Kite, and this is off their second album, or maybe no, it's the third one. And it's called, I think it's called Isolation. I could be wrong. Let me pull it up. Yeah, it is called Isolation. So I have been playing music from the third record of theirs. And again, they've been the musical guest the last few episodes. And I think they're going to continue to be the musical guest moving forward, I think. Because I don't really want to spend all this time emailing people and getting people to say yes and no a lot. So, but they were cool enough. Patrick was really cool enough to say yes to allow me to use their music, which is great. And yeah, so feel free. I'll link to them in my in the show notes. And yeah, and another thing is that I think I'm going to try to submit my podcast to iTunes. I've already looked into it. It seems pretty easy. I'm going to get my friend to resize my image. Or resize my logo on my website so that it's up to the pixel threshold that iTunes wants, and then the podcast could be on iTunes probably, and we'll see in another week or two, which is actually kind of cool because originally, if you listen to episode one, I kind of didn't want to promote this episode, didn't want to promote this podcast because, you know, I don't think I was going to be really good at it, and I still don't think I'm really good at it. But I'm definitely realizing now that it's a lot easier for me to do now that I've done this a few times. And it's getting a lot easier, and it's becoming less time intensive, which is great. But yeah, so yeah, look for that too. And I'll have more updates in the next podcast as well. Have a great weekend, and be safe. All right, bye.
Of 200 years before, a future was in place, still tied to everything, to the family, to the way, a life that simply could be played, when our simple man was taken away. the family grows together.